Good morning, FBCS. Let's all stand. We're going to worship God this morning. We've waited for you, Lord.
This morning. You guys can take a seat. I'm going to talk at you for a few minutes, so you're going to want to sit down for this one. First of all, if you're a student, anywhere from going to be in kindergarten through just graduated high school, we want you on the stage right now. So if you guys can walk your way on up, I'll explain what they're doing. Don't worry. They're preaching. John is not. So this is just kidding. John's preaching. As they're walking up, make sure you check out in your bulletin. There's one thing I need you to make sure you look at. It's our FBCSU, FBCS University, for those of you that need that hint, because I needed it, make sure you check that out. We've got our first set of classes happening this Wednesday, so make sure you check that out. You can attend evangelism with Pastor John. You can attend photography with Joel, whose birthday happens to be today. I forgot to throw you under that bus last service, so there you go. Or you can attend choir with Andy, so make sure you come check that out on Wednesday. Cool? All right, now you may notice there's a large crowd of students. Hello, everyone. Hello. One is half on stage. It works for me. This is Promotion Sunday, and so we wanted them to know that we love them and appreciate them and are incredibly proud of the work that they've done this year. So let's start with... this is a good way to start. Yes, let's start. Can we give them a round of applause for their hard work? Now, I'm not seeing any of your seniors. We have a couple, but they're not here. Usually, I make them talk. So instead, we're going to just spend a few moments praying over them, and then I think we should applaud for them at the end again, yeah? But not yet. Hold your applause. This is like a circus. This is great. Here you go.
Let's all bow our heads and pray. Father, we just thank you so much for our time here together, for all the friends we have made, and for all the days of laughter and fun, and for all the times of great discovery and learning. We thank you for all who have given their energy and their skills and their wisdom so that each student can grow and learn. Thank you for our teachers and mentors, our family and our loved ones. We thank you for them and give them all to you in prayer. As this chapter on each student's life closes, so a new one begins. We present each student like an open book before you. Please come and scribe your words of life into their lives. Fill their minds with your thoughts and fill their bodies with your strength. Fill their hearts with your dreams, that we might all eternally love and serve you this day and every day. Lord, we pray for wisdom and discernment from the church body, that you will raise up godly men and women to walk alongside each student, that you will pour into them the encouragement to pass on to the next generations, that you will overwhelm them with a passion for your children and for everyone. We ask all of this in your powerful name, and everybody said, yay, let's hear it for our students.
All right, students, thank you guys. You guys can go back to your class or to your seats. You guys have worked hard. Keep it up. Those of you starting high school, good luck. That's all I have to say about that one. All right, now why don't we go ahead and stand up and let's sing some more praise to God this morning.
It's been interesting. As I prepare for worship every Sunday, the Lord really speaks to my heart in terms of what it is that the church is going, I guess, in terms of messaging and just the scripture that we read. Set a fire, as you've noticed, probably every other Sunday we've been singing a chorus, a verse, or just a little phrase of the song. But I feel it's really just maybe our anthem in the set. I think it's an open door to let God really move in our hearts as we really hear the message each and every morning. And so I pray that just not be another song, that you really just let the Lord speak to you. Because I know there's no place I'd rather be than here with you. Let's pray. Lord, we bask in your presence, God, this morning. Grasp onto our hearts, God. Use us, Lord. Unfold us, God. Shape and mold us, the people you've called us to be, Lord. Humble our hearts, Lord. Humble our spirit. Create in us, Lord, a heart of worship for you. Each and every moment of every day. Your presence is great. I would rather be, and hearing your love, hearing it. Lord, set a fire in our hearts. Let's declare to the Lord. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. And set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing his love. Yeah, there's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be.
Yes, Lord.
No place I would rather be than hearing your love. Set a fire, Lord, in our hearts. So set a fire down in my soul that we can't contain, that we can't control. I want more. Down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Hearing your love, hearing your love. There's no place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than hearing his love, hearing your love. Amen. 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 Of your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Amen. Let's sing that again. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. Fall on your grace. Hear the joy. Hear the joyful sound of our offering. As your saints bow down, as your people sing, we will rise to you, lifted on your wings. And the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves.
Sing, we will rise with.
feeling, but put to a great hymn. If you know the words, please sing out. If not, enjoy. Our scars are a sign of grace in our lives. And Father, how you brought us through. When deep were the wounds and dark was the night, of your love was proved. Now every battle still to come, let this be our song, and it is well with my soul. It is well. Joy will paint the morning sky. You're there in the fast, you're there in the feast. Your faithfulness will always shine. Now every battle still to come, let this be our song. Here we go. And it is well. Thank you for this, God, this opportune moment. It is well, Lord. We pray, God. Trust your ways. You are the truth, the way, the light, Lord. We thank you, God, for all that you do. In your holy name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. You may be seated. As another act of worship this morning, we want to welcome the ushers forward as we go into a time of offering, another act of worship in itself. As God blesses us each and every day, we worship him to the fullest extent of our heart, and a way to bless the Lord is, of course, the offering that we give each and every day of our lives, and not just from our hearts, but it is of the gifts that God gives us through our working and through our pays. And that is 10% of all that he's blessed us. And may, in this moment that you just bask in his presence, give him the glory and honor through this offering. Lord, we thank you, God. Bless those that can give and those that cannot, Lord. In this time, Lord, we give it to you. Amen.
Yes, it is Memorial Day weekend. It's an opportunity for people to get out of town, to get to cooler places, I guess. And many people believe that that's why there are folks not here this morning. Well, if you look at the daily time passages, and we put this in your bulletin every week, and it helps give you not just the idea, but our desire is in those passages for you to be able to reflect on what we've been talking about the week prior or that past Sunday. Every Sunday morning is the passage that will be preached on that day. And there's a part of me that believes that the reason why some people aren't here today isn't just because of Memorial Day. It's because they read the passage and they said, I don't want to hear that this morning. Because this passage is one of those passages that, well, I'll get to it. It makes you squirm. And I'll get to that in just a few moments. But Paul understood that this God that we have is a God of relationship. And we read this in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26. He says this, then God said, let us make mankind in our image and our likeness so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Part of being designed and created in the image of God means this, is that we are designed to be in relationships with one another. We're the only part of creation that has that dignity. We're designed to interact with one another. We're not designed to go into a cave and live there by ourselves, even though for many of us, perhaps there are days in our lives when living in a cave by ourselves really sounds like a great deal. But we're designed for relationship. And last week, Kelsey talked about clothing ourselves with Christ and began to talk about compassion and mercy and put aside these different things. Well, now Paul takes that whole idea, not just an idea, but a reality, and says, this is the way this needs to be lived out. It's in relationship. It's in the marriage relationship. It's in the parent-child relationship. It's in employer-employee relationship. Because we are designed for relationship. And so we come to the passage. It's Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 18. Paul writes these words, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Father, we pray now as we come into this time of looking at your word, we pray that you would open our eyes so that we may see, open our minds so that we may be able to understand, open our hearts so that we may have lives that live for you, and open our ears so that we can hear what it is that you have to say to us. Holy Spirit, move in our midst. May nobody hear anything I say, but only that which you want them to hear. And Lord, I confess that this passage causes me to squirm. And I know that I'm not the only one. And so we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us, that we may truly understand better what it means to be your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. I'd like to ask Andy and the band to come back up, and we'll sing one song, and then we're out of here. This causes us some consternation, because we see this, and we want to say, did he really say what he just said? What's going on here? Because in the 21st century, John, women have all types of rights. In the 21st century, this is really important. If Paul were to say that today, I'd tell him a thing or two. And we look at this passage, and trust me, hear me very clearly. Every time I read this verse, I get uncomfortable. And I'm a guy. This verse bugs me. It's one of those verses that I don't want to take a highlighter to. I want to take a black Sharpie to and black it out. Because it doesn't sit well with me. And there's this temptation to gloss over it. There's this temptation to say, oh, that's just Paul. He was having a bad day or something like that. But no, it's there. It's there, and it's there for a reason. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. The context of this verse is so important. Because back in that day, the family had been around for thousands of years. The body of Christ was a relatively new experience. It had only been around for a few decades. And Paul knew that Jesus Christ radically changes people's lives. It was Jesus Christ who took the time to speak to a woman at a well. It was Jesus Christ who had a woman pour perfume on her feet, and while other people were in that room ridiculing her and making fun of her, Jesus Christ said, what she just did will be remembered for eternity. Jesus Christ is exalting women, and Paul knows that. And the simple fact that Paul addresses wives is revolutionary. Nobody at that time wanted to talk about wives. Nobody at that time wanted to talk about women. Nobody at that time wanted to talk about children. Nobody at that time wanted to talk about slaves. So Paul simply addressing wives tells you that they have great value. Like I was saying just a few moments ago, the family system had been in existence pretty much since humanity came on the planet. The church was a relatively new thing. Family systems were in place. Family systems back then were male dominated. The husband, the father, they called the shots. In Scripture, we can see a few times where when the father came to know Jesus Christ, the entire family came to know Jesus Christ. Yes, things are different. I get it. But back in Paul's day, it was a different time, and he had to talk about Jesus Christ and the influence that Christ would make in people's lives. And so he enters into this, and you can almost see him gingerly do this. And yet he says, wives, submit to your husband. If we were to take the time and look at what else Paul has to say, we would see this, that Paul uses the word submission, and every time that he uses the word submission, it is a mutual submissive experience. He says this in Ephesians, that husbands and wives are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And the submissiveness is not one where all of a sudden you cower in fear and all of a sudden you are oppressed and treated horribly. The submissiveness that he's talking about is being in line with what God wants to accomplish through the family system. And I want to be very direct here with husbands. If you dare read this verse and say, my wife needs to memorize that verse, or else you've completely lost your mind. And hear me very clearly also. If you or someone you know is a woman that is in an abusive marriage, tell them to get help. Men want to look at this verse, and yes, I'm on a little bit of a tangent right now. Men want to look at this verse and use it as a weapon against their wives. But notice that this verse is addressed to the wives. It does not say, husbands, make sure your wives submit to the Lord. It says, wives, submit to your husband. This idea, and the reason why it's passionate with me, is a number of years ago, a good friend of mine, her husband, used this verse to beat her down. And every time this verse came up in a staff meeting, she would cry. And we didn't understand fully why that was until she told us what her husband was doing. This verse does not give husbands a right to abuse and oppress their wives. Hear me very clearly. That's not biblical, it's not right, and it is not of Christ. I knew the women would agree with that. When we take God's word and use it as a weapon, we are out of line. What Paul's talking about here when he's talking about submitting to the husband, he understands that that family system at that time is a male-dominated thing, and he understands that that husband has a whole lot of responsibility, and it is on his head about what needs to happen for Jesus Christ. And so he's saying to the wives who are now given freedom in Christ, he's saying to them, you need to submit here. You need to work together here to promote and prompt the kingdom of God. And perhaps you're a husband here saying, boy, I hope my wife heard what you just said. And if not, I'm going to put it on a post-it and put it on a mirror so she can see it every single morning. And you're feeling pretty good about yourself. Here's your problem. Number one, you're wrong. Number two, you need to read verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Every time the word love is used in Scripture, it is a sacrificial love. It means getting out of the chair. It means initiating a relationship. It means looking to outgive your wife. It means perhaps for the first time in years, you actually going out on a date with them and not talking about foo-foo stuff, but talking about your marriage and talking about what's going on with the two of you. So often, husbands want to just sit back, and yet we forget that we have great responsibility. Story goes that a couple had been married for a while, and over the course of the years, the wife had become joyless, had become despondent almost. She was struggling through some really depressing, dark times. Reason being primarily was because her husband was out conquering the world. Her husband was out making a name for himself, and he was neglecting his wife. And so she kept asking him, we need to go see counseling. We need to get counseling. This is not good. And so he finally agrees to go get counseling. While they're getting the counseling, the counselor's sitting behind their desk or behind his desk, and he's noticing that the husband is just completely engrossed with setting his calendar on his phone. And the wife has tears streaming down her face. And so the counselor gets up and walks from behind his desk over to the woman, and he grabs her by the hand, and he asks her to stand up. At this point, the husband is now, his attention is now off of his phone and onto what's going on here between the counselor and the wife. And he has this woman stand up, tears streaming down her face. And then he engulfs her in a humongous hug and squeezes her tightly. Doesn't say anything. And in all his years of doing counseling, he had never done what he was doing at this particular time. But he is hugging her. And all of a sudden, instead of her being slouched over and instead of her being despondent, there was this light, there was this lightness that began to happen. And this smile began to cross her face, began to build on her face. And all of a sudden, this heaviness that she felt was being lifted right before their very eyes. And he kept holding on to her and hugging her. And he did not stop hugging her until she stopped. And when she stopped hugging, she backed away and just was beaming with joy. And the counselor looks at the husband who has witnessed this entire thing. And the counselor looks to the husband and says, that's all it takes. 3 times a week. That's all it takes. And the husband looks at the counselor and says, fine, I can bring her Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, but I'm booked every other afternoon. Completely clueless on what he was supposed to be about, and that was caring for his wife, loving her sacrificially and caring for her and not being harsh with her. We're going to look at some other things that Paul says. I want to go to one verse in Ephesians where it says this: husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. The last time I checked, Christ died for the church. You see, this love that he's talking about, that husbands are to have for their wives, is a sacrificial love. And I got to tell you, as we look at verse 19, where it says, love your wives and don't be harsh with them, and when we understand that this love is a sacrificial love, that this love goes beyond what we are comfortable with, when we understand that and we take it and we compare it to what Jesus Christ's love is all about for the church, which involved laying down his life for the church, it means this: that husbands, we are called to sacrifice. And if we would focus more on verse 19 than 18, look out for what would happen in our marriages. Marriages are breaking down all the time. Husbands want to focus on verse 18. I'm asking you to stop looking at verse 18, husbands, and start looking at verse 19 and living that out. If that were to happen, radical things would happen in marriage. Well, perhaps you're here and you're thinking, well, I'm not married, or I'm too young, I'm just a child, I can tune out. Well, Paul's got words for you as well. Says this in verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Yep, that's right, everything. You're looking for a loophole, kids, sorry. Everything means everything. Everything that your parents say, you are to obey. But notice, in the Lord, providing that it's in line with what God's will is. I know of no kid, no child, that doesn't look for loopholes when it comes to obedience. But mom, I ate my ice cream. I ate the burger. I don't want to eat my vegetables. Is that okay? We're always looking for a loophole. And this word in Greek, this obey, is in the present tense, which means this is an ongoing obedience. This isn't just, hey, it's Monday, I need to obey. Tuesday, not so much. It's obey them in everything. Everything means everything. Now, parents, you're sitting there licking your chops going, this is awesome. When we're done today, I'm going to tell my kids they need to fix lunch, they need to mow the yard, they need to do all this other stuff, and I'm sitting back eating bonbons. That isn't what he's talking about here. For this pleases the Lord when we obey. There are 10 commandments. The first four deal with commandments that are dealing with our relationship to God. From number 5 through 10, it deals with our relationship with one another. God could have picked any relationship that he wanted, but yet God chooses to talk about the child's relationship with their parents as the first commandment that deals with the way we relate to one another. He says this: honor your father and mother, for it will go well with you in the land that I've given you. Of all the commandments, could have talked about husbands and wives, could have talked about brothers and sisters. He talks about children and parents as the first commandment when it comes to interaction with one another. The reason being is because it's in that environment where God can see, where God seemingly does amazing things. Where children obey their parents, look what happens in that family. There's peace, there's structure, there's a movement forward. And then he says this: fathers, don't embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Dads matter. And if we were to expand this a little bit more, parents matter. Many of the children and students, I shouldn't say many, some of the children and students that are part of our children's ministry and student ministry here come from non-Christ-following homes. What does that mean for us? It means that we have a responsibility to be Christ-following parent types to these people. It means that we get to show them what Jesus Christ is all about. It means that we get to encourage them, not discourage them. It means this, that we get to engage with them and help them understand Jesus Christ. You're going to hear more and more over the next few weeks about VBS. VBS, for me, growing up, was not an enjoyable experience. My parents, we went to church sporadically. And when my mom found out that there was a vacation Bible school at the church down the street, my mom said, great, free daycare. So I went to VBS. I came home early on the second day. Why? I got kicked out of VBS. Apparently, I said some things that I wasn't supposed to say, or I conducted myself in a way that was not very good, and they said, go. This is really embarrassing. They told me to stand against the wall, and they would figure out what to do with me. After they figured out what to do with me, they said, you need to go home. Thankfully, my house is only 3 blocks away. I walked home from VBS. I got kicked out. Sorry, I'm speaking like I'm going through puberty. And I look back on that, and people get so excited about Vacation Bible School, and they look at me like, John, why aren't you excited about it? Great things happened for Jesus at Vacation Bible School. I'm going, I got kicked out. That's what happened to me. We have children, we have students that show up that don't have Christ-following parents. It's our responsibility to not embitter them. It's our responsibility to not discourage them. As parents, we have a responsibility to fan into flame what God has called our kids to be. If you want to discourage your kids, here's the formula. Number one, ignore them. Don't take an interest in what's going on in their lives. Number two, indulge them. Give them whatever they want. By giving them whatever they want, it makes them feel entitled, and it makes them spoiled, and it leads to them being disappointed. Number three, besides ignoring them and indulging them, you really want to take it to the next level. Insult them. Make fun of them. Ridicule them. I've lost count how many times I've heard parents use sarcasm against their kids. And I see this kid who was vibrant just 10 seconds earlier. Now all of a sudden this kid, his demeanor is slouched, all because their mom or dad decided it was really cute to make fun of them. How are you doing with your kids? When was the last time you told your children that you were proud of them? When was the last time that you went up to your son or daughter and just hugged them just because? We live in a world that's very difficult for children to be children. They're exposed to stuff that they ought not be exposed to at such a young age. And instead of us piling on and making fun of them or ignoring them or indulging them, we need to invite them to see Jesus Christ in the way we care for them. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be warm fuzzies. But what it means is this, is as adults, when we go to care for children, when we go to care for students, we could be the one voice that they desperately need to hear. A voice that points them to Jesus Christ. Are you doing that? And Paul's not done. goes on and he says this in verse 22. He says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. I want to stop there. When we read these words about slaves, we automatically think back to the dark chapter of this country's history, and we think that that's what Paul's talking about. But in Paul's day, slaves were people that were enslaved because of an economic situation. Doctors and lawyers and people of other prominent professions would enslave themselves to a master until they paid that person off. So our idea of slavery, when we sit there and think, well, we go and grab people and we oppress them and just based on the color of their skin, that's not what Paul's talking about here. What Paul's talking about is in essence, if we were to contextualize it, at least move it out of Paul's day into our day, it's sort of an employer-employee relationship type thing that he's talking about here. And I find verse 23 very fascinating because, especially in today's world, where 70% of all people absolutely hate their job. I had, at the end of the first service, a person came out and they're a teacher, and they looked at me and said, I'm glad I'm one of the 30%. I absolutely love teaching. I mean, she was beaming with this. But 70% of all people hate their job. If you're a Christ follower and you hate your job, verse 23 is big for you. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. We work for the Lord, no matter what you do. We have an audience of one. Growing up, I worked at a restaurant called Sirloin Stockade. My manager was decent, but not a very good manager. There were times that I went to work and I hated being there. And I remember one time I left work early just because I didn't want to be there anymore. The guy who led me to Jesus Christ found out about it and he took me out that day, that evening. And he said, why did you walk off your job today? I said, Bob, you don't get it. I hate this job. And he quoted this verse. He said, John, you came to know Christ a little while ago. You don't work for your boss. You work for God. An audience of one. So the next day I had to go back and apologize to my manager. And when I see this verse, it reminds me that we're about bigger things than just a paycheck. We're about serving Him and serving Him fully. And then Paul wraps it up and he says to the bosses, he says, masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair because you know that you also have a master in heaven. This boss that we have isn't an undercover boss. Many of us have seen that show, Undercover Bosses, which is a great show. CEOs from big corporations go and work alongside employees who are fry cooks or who are at a call center, whatever the case may be, and they do this incognito, and they hear from these people that are around them about what they really think, A, of the corporation, and B, of what the environment's like and what's going on in their lives. And then at the end of the show, the boss reveals himself to these individuals. And it's fascinating to watch the encounter that happens. Because the people that are doing their job with joy weep as they see this boss. The people that are doing their job just for a paycheck are scared because they realize they revealed too much. This past week, my wife and I had an opportunity to get away for a few days, and we experienced TSA. There we go. I was hoping there'd be some laughter. So we experienced TSA, and there was this lady who was overjoyed with every person she met. She looked at my driver's license, said, how are you, Mr. Bosick? I hope you're having a great day, blah, blah. I'm going, I know I'm a good-looking guy. You're overwhelmed by my picture and my presence, but you work for TSA. You know, you guys are getting ripped to shreds in the news all the time. she had this joy about her that I sat there going, it was startling. Dawn and I both remarked, we're going, this lady's on drugs or something. But she had this joy. Yes, she's working for TSA, yet she's enjoying it. And here's what I want to know. Does she know Jesus? Because the way she was conducting herself, the way she was engaging with people, she was working for an audience of one. Are you working for an audience of one? Or are you so overwhelmed that you forget that he's the audience? And those bosses, have you forgotten that you answer to the one boss? His name's Jesus Christ. Are you treating your employees with fairness and justice and goodness? Or are you simply looking at your employees as a means to an end? Paul knows this, that when we clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ, it changes our relationships. It changes the way husbands interact with wives, the way wives interact with husbands, the way parents interact with children, the way children interact with parents, and the way the workplace happens. I ask you this morning, right now, in all of those relationships that are happening in your life right now, is there brokenness? Does restoration need to happen? Is your marriage needing restoration? Is your attitude at work needing rebuilt? Is your relationship with your children, your relationship with your parents at such a place where it's so ugly and it's so distant that you don't even want to be around them? Paul would say this, make the move to make things right. At the end of the service today, one of our elders is going to be over here. And if you need somebody to pray with because of these relationships, please take the time to do that very thing. You see, we're created in the image of God. Therefore, we have relationships with one another. And because of Jesus Christ, we can relate to one another in a way that brings glory to him. Perhaps today is the day when you have those relationships restored. Perhaps today is the day where you look to Jesus and say, I need you. I need you now. Father, we pray in these next few moments of quietness, we pray that you would reveal to us those relationships that we have that need restored. You're a powerful God who can restore those relationships. And so we pray in the moments of this stillness that you would help us pay attention to what it is that you're wanting us to know and experience. Holy Spirit, move in our lives. We thank you for Jesus Christ and for what he did to restore these relationships. And Lord, we confess that we stumble along the way. And we pray now by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would help us see the restoration that you want to bring about in all the relationships of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand and may this be our prayer as we close out the morning. Lord, we call upon you.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice.
welcome you, Lord. I love you.
I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy.
Like I said just a few moments ago, if there's a relationship that you believe needs to be restored and you'd like somebody to pray with you, there'll be an elder over here in this corner, and please go over and have them pray for you. It won't be a counseling session or anything like that. They're simply going to pray for you. And for all of us, the relationships that we have are sometimes rocky, and we need to turn to Christ. We might not like what he has to say through his word, yet at the same time, when we submit ourselves to him, things change. Jesus Christ submitted himself to God the Father, and Jesus Christ is fully God. We get to model that this week. So may you enjoy this week. May you rest in him and enjoy a day off tomorrow. God bless you. Enjoy yourselves. God bless.